I have a feeling it's going to get pretty interesting around here.
It's going to get crazy, and here's why. Rick Perlstein is joining us right now, author and historian. His first piece for The New Yorker was just published, and it has to do with Rahm Emanuel. And boy, do you do a good job of chronicling what his last several years have been like. Rick, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure,
we really
brother.
Appreciate
thanks.
That. What sort of response, before we get into the meat of what exactly the article was, what sort of response are you getting since it's been published?
This story was one of the five most read stories on NewYorker.com for four straight days.
Good golly,
and my
Miss Molly.
Phone has been ringing off the hook. Part of the reason, I think, is because folks nationally don't hear this stuff because kind of the national media has been in love with the guy for so long.
Yeah.
And then folks like us in Chicago, we know these stories individually. We read the Trib, we read the Sun-Times, and they're reporting this stuff, and they do a good job. WBEZ, too. I don't want to leave them out. WGN. But what reporters don't do is put all this stuff together. And the reason they don't put all this stuff together is that the mayor's press shop is basically run like a kind of mini fascist empire. You know, when I was sitting in this chair 3 years ago, when I did an article about Rahm Emanuel in Rolling Stone, one of your colleagues told me that they finally got an interview with Rahm Emanuel.
Mm-hmm.
And that Rahm Emanuel, one of his press secretaries, was kneeling down and whispering in his ear the whole time what questions he was allowed to ask, what questions
what?
He wasn't allowed to ask. He said in 30 years of journalism, he'd never experienced this. And every time I do one of these articles in one of these national magazines about Rahm Emanuel, you know, I'm mostly a historian. I'm not a City Hall reporter. I've never been in the press room. These guys thank me. They say, I can't write this stuff.
Right.
But you can.
Right.
Well, the rise and fall of Rahm Emanuel, it's called the sudden but well-deserved fall of Rahm Emanuel. We did see a rise before mm-hmm. the fall. Mm-hmm. You can find this at NewYorker.com. Rick Perlstein.
Oh, he gets a rise out of people. That's
he was. There was a time, and you're very honest and fair about this, I thought, in your article, Rick, where you say he was one of the shining stars of the Democratic Party. He was one of the golden boys for
That's
quite
right.
a while.
Yeah, ever since 1991, when he was one of the first out-of-towners to go to Arkansas to work for this kid, Bill Clinton, who, of course, didn't have a chance. And, you know, he comes to Arkansas, apparently put his feet up on the table in Bill and Hillary's house, and she didn't like that much.
Yeah.
But he basically convinced Bill Clinton that fundraising was the alpha and the omega of winning a presidential race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cut back on your campaigning schedule, talk to the rich guys. And that saved Bill Clinton's butt because if you'll recall, in 1992, he had a sex scandal.
Mm-hmm.
He had an affair with a woman named Jennifer Flowers. And he was able to saturate the airwaves in New Hampshire with commercials with all that money he had raised, basically getting down on his knees in contrition. And that's when he got that nickname, the Comeback Kid. And he was so grateful to Rahm Emanuel that suddenly he rose to the stratosphere in the White House.
You tell the story in the article about how he would be talking to potential donors, people that were going to donate
that's
money.
Right.
And he'd say, $5,000, that's an embarrassment. You're a $25,000 person. You're going to give us $25,000.
Right.
He was so arrogant about his ways back then, but that's no surprise. No.
Didn't we like that? Rahm Emanuel?
When he first became mayor, I kind of liked the arrogance.
Right.
I kind of want somebody who's going to
worn well. Right.
Yeah, he's going to stick up for our city and for the
right.
problems.
Right. You know, kind of the problem is, you know, whose behalf is he, you know, screaming? You know,
yeah.
Is it the regular guy or is it, you know, his banker buddies? And one of the things I relied on was a wonderful article by Ben Jarafsky and Mick Dumke in The Reader a few years ago when they had to do a Freedom of Information Act just to get his actual schedule
mm-hmm.
to see who they met with. Because when the reporters get his schedule every day, it's blank. Or they'll have, you know, he's doing a ribbon cutting at a park. But they actually saw that, you know, he's really meeting with guys like Ken Griffith, the hedge fund guy. He's meeting with Rauner, you know, who was back then an investment banker who, you know, was the head of the education committee of the commercial club, wasn't governor yet. He was meeting with, you know, all these kind of bankers. And bankers are important.
Yeah.
You know, they help bring jobs to the city. But, you know, he wasn't meeting with the folks in the neighborhoods. He wasn't meeting with the community groups. He wasn't meeting with the aldermen.
Right.
You know, but it took a Freedom of Information Act for the people of Chicago just to learn what their mayor did every day.
If you're just joining us, Rick Perlstein is our guest, author and historian. wrote a book called The Invisible Bridge, The Fall of Nixon and Rise of Reagan. But we're talking to him right now about an article that was just published in The New Yorker. You can read it at newyorker.com about our own mayor, Rahm Emanuel. Here's a criticism that I keep hearing, and I'd love your take on it.
Mm-hmm.
People say the difference between him and Mayor Daley,
right.
You pick which Mayor Daley you want, the first version or the second version, is those guys, the Mayor Daleys, they knew who to talk to, who
right.
to pay off, who to deal with,
right.
and maybe Mayor Rahm Emanuel doesn't have that.
Well, you know, they knew the city, right? I mean, when Mayor Daley got in trouble with the hired truck scandal, you know, he was not exactly clean as the, you know, driven snow. He had kind of friends in all 50 wards to fall back on. Rahm Emanuel, you know, he's from Wilmette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's from Washington. You know, he's from Wall Street, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And he just does not
no
have
roots.
Yeah, the city just doesn't, you know, kind of run through his veins. And now that he's in trouble, it's really, really remarkable how kind of precipitous his fall has been, you know, because he just doesn't have any friends outside of kind of these money guys.
Yeah.
And that's not just going to do in a city like Chicago.
And are those guys truly his friends, though, or is that that's a business?
Well, Rauner's was supposed to be his friend just yesterday.
Rauner
he said, oh, my God, Rauner just got a steel-toed boot and, you know, put it on his head.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm all for the recall,
I'm all for the recall. You know, it's
Bruce
like
Rauner.
A lot of us were like, well, yeah, you know, Rauner, I don't like him. Emanuel, I don't like him. But at least we have a, you know, friend in Springfield in the governor's office because, you know, these guys supposedly drink wine together. They go on vacation together. Nothing. You know, he's completely Rauner has completely shut Emanuel off. He's not letting him get his you know, dispensation he needs to raise property taxes, but keep properties below $250,000 out of the property tax raise. He's not helping with education. He's not helping with gun control. Nothing. He's not even, you know, he hangs out with all the bankers, but he can't even, you know, get their phone calls returned.
Since you brought up education,
mm-hmm.
problems with not one but two people who are leading the education.
Oh, my God.
Who are supposed to be leading the education here in Chicago. He had two scandals, right?
Right.
The list goes on and on and on. But the question I wanted to ask is, would other cities tolerate this? Would other states tolerate this? Chicago and the state of Illinois
right.
has a long, long history of some sort of problem in office.
Yeah.
Would if this was happening in El Paso, Texas, if this was happening in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, you pick the city.
We get
would
weary,
they allow
right?
this?
Don't
yeah.
we? I mean, it's just kind of like, oh, it's Chicago. Sigh.
Yeah.
You know, at the University of Illinois at Chicago in the political science department, they have a they have pictures of governors on the wall,
yeah.
but it's all the governors who are in jail, right?
They're going to have to build a new
you know,
wall.
And that's kind of what one of the things I said when we had the election last year with Chewy Garcia. You know, I was supporting Chewy. My cards are on the table, and I told people who said, "Well, you know, Rahm Emanuel, you know, he's a SOB, but he's our SOB." And I said, "Well, he might embarrass the city. You know, he might end up in jail."
Yeah,
and no one really wanted to hear that then.
But he's not going to end up in jail.
Well, what if it turns out that, you know, they have evidence that he saw the video?
I still think he saw the video.
Well, let's take a break and discuss that, because that was a pretty interesting debate back and forth. I don't know how a guy with all that money on the line, like $5 million
and
on the line.
And he's in charge of
the video.
City.
Yeah.
You don't say, even if you, it just shocked me that he said, I didn't see it.
It is a shock.
Because, you know, if we're talking about a big story on the air and you say, did you read the story? No, I didn't.
Right.
I'm going to lie and say I did, like I do every day. Yeah, I read the story by Rick Perlstein. Yeah, I did it.
Rick Perlstein is our guest. Read him at thenewyorker.com. What a great article he just put together about Mayor Rahm Emanuel. If you want to call in 312-981-7200, back after this is WGN. The article we're talking about is called The Sudden But Well-Deserved Fall of Rahm Emanuel. The author of that article, which, by the way, you can still read at thenewyorker.com, is Rick Perlstein. He's sitting right over there. We were talking just moments ago about the video. This is the mm-hmm. The McDonald video. The mayor maintains right up until... When did it hit? A month and
he
a half ago?
He said he saw it on the news.
He saw it on the news, but he had not seen it prior to that. But we were just all making the point that with that kind of money on the line, they paid the family $5 million.
Without a lawsuit.
To avoid a lawsuit, a $5 million payout. How do you not see that video? Is that even remotely possible?
Right. It's not like Chicago doesn't have fiscal problems. I mean, our schools are $480 million in the hole. $5 million, you know, buys a lot of teachers, buys a lot of libraries. Sure. You know, it's nothing to sneeze at. And he's telling us that they're writing out $5 million checks without even, like, checking the evidence. That's kind of stinky either way.
But was that, like, Gary McCarthy's job? Did he say, you know, listen...
Gary McCarthy doesn't control the city's finances. You know,
but does he say, listen, I saw this video, and really, this we're at fault here?
Well, he doesn't trust... He did, you know, Gary McCarthy doesn't have the confidence of the mayor. You know, he was fired.
Yeah, I know.
At that point. But somebody had to sign off on the amount of check and say, yes, go ahead, pay the McDonald family $5 million. Do
the
we
Bucks,
know?
Well, you know, like Harry Truman had that, you know, sign
the
on his
desk. The buck stops here.
The buck stops here.
Yeah.
You know, he's an executive, right? We hire him to be the responsible authority, you know, when it comes to the big decisions. He loves saying, you know, the reason I'm unpopular is I make tough decisions, right? Sounds like when he skirted here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because wouldn't you say if somebody presents to him, got to give these people $5 million, I got to see this. I got to see what this is all about.
This is the guy who, you know, is, you know, jumping on the desk, you know, when a donor, you know, isn't, you know, like writing him a big enough check, you know.
You also make it a point in the article to say that should some of these things come to light prior to the election, he may not have been elected as mayor.
There's no way. You can't win a citywide election in Chicago without the black vote, whether it was Daley or Rahm Emanuel. And the first time, the first election, you know, in 2011, no problem. He's got the Obama connection. 2015, there's a big division in this town between the African-American political establishment and the Hispanic political establishment.
I didn't know that he was going to win the second time.
Well,
I really
mean,
didn't.
He didn't get a majority of the vote, right? He lost in a landslide in the first round, as it were.
Yeah.
It was, you know, not a great campaign run by Chuy Garcia. But, you know, political campaigns and elections are creatures of events.
Mm-hmm.
And if the people of Chicago had known what they know now, you know, no way. You know, he's back on Wall Street.
Rick, we had Kristen McQuarrie here yesterday who writes for the Chicago Tribune and often writes about politics. And I was saying how
Politico.
There was, right. I was saying how there was a time where everybody expected Rahm Emanuel's last stop politically to not be the mayor of Chicago, but he would be seeking some sort of higher office.
Yeah, he wanted to be the first Jewish speaker of the House. Was that, his famous thing. Yeah.
People have mentioned that many times. Do you think after what we've seen, the job that he's done as mayor thus far, that he has any kind of a chance for running for higher office, or are those days done?
Do you guys remember the Peter Principle?
Yeah, the book and movie?
No.
Yeah, you remember what it's called? The Peter Principle is the principle that people rise to their level of incompetence.
Yeah.
If you do a good job, you know, as a regional manager, you know, they promote you to vice president. You do a good job as vice president, you become president. Well, maybe you were meant to be a regional manager. Maybe Rahm Emanuel should have stuck around as a fundraiser. Maybe that's what, you know, he needs to be doing. I think what's going to happen with him in Chicago, that's still up in the air. But I don't think there's a place for him in the rest of national politics now.
Somebody just texted us, you know, Mayor Daley had a lot of friends, so Daley's corruption was okay, because we said it's Daley was from here, both the Daleys, and kind of knew.
I'm just saying he knew how to he knew how to wiggle out of the jam.
Right, but someone was just texting, it's kind of bad that too many people feel this way. And
yeah,
in a way,
it's terrible. I get it all the
true.
Time. This is Chicago. This is Chicago. This is Chicago. We have to stand for better. You know, this is all we're going to get. You know, people get the government they deserve.
Well,
right?
Also.
Oh, we deserve better. Come on.
Well, not if we don't fight for it. Not if we just, you know, kind of hold up our hands and say this is, you know, we did have an election, right? The turnout was terrible.
It was, wasn't
you know,
it?
People didn't turn out because, you know, they got these mailers in the mail that said, oh, if you elect Chuy Garcia, he's going to raise your property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he raised property taxes when he was in the city council 30 years ago.
Are things harder to hide now than they were when Mayor Daley was in office? Is it a more difficult move to hide something that you don't want the public to know about?
Well, I mean, Rahm Emanuel had no problem hiding this video until a judge told him he had to release it. So, you know, it's not too hard to hide things. I mean, yes, we have the internet, right? Yes, we have Twitter. Yes, we have Facebook. But it was, you know, 2003 when George Bush, you know, was able to hide the fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, right? If powerful people want to hide things from the public, there are ways to do it. And
how do we find out that they're lying to us?
Well, it's a continual struggle, right? You know, we sit in rooms like this and we discuss it, right?
Yeah.
And you hold their feet to the fire. Because look at what's happened to Rahm Emanuel. They rely on the Democratic mandate, not just to be elected, not just to stay in office, but to be able to do things, you know, to be able to govern.
We were talking a little while ago about when he first emerged or through his emergence, there was an arrogance to him, a cockiness. Is that gone? Has it subsided a little bit, a lot? What do you think?
If the cockiness was gone, he would have resigned. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cocky just, you know, kind of staying in office.
He did nothing wrong.
It's who he is. You know, I saw a video of him from 1978. Did you guys see this?
No.
He was at there was a Nazi rally in Marquette Park, the American Nazi Party, and a guy did a documentary about it. And there is this cocky, I think it's like 18-year-old kid with a big Jufro and his shirt off, and he's just kind of looking like exactly like now, and it's Rahm. It's the same guy, man.
And what was his involvement there?
He was sticking it to the Nazis.
Oh,
man.
He was okay. He picked the right side of the argument.
Well, did he have a beard in his hand? Really, because I think I saw this.
I don't think he had a beard. But then there's the one, you know, where he has the big, you know, fro and he's wearing his leotard back in his ballet days. You know.
He is a former ballet dancer, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe future. That could be the future,
too. He's got the moves like Jagger.
Yes, he does.
I don't think we're ready for that, Jelly. I don't know.
People have hinted at a recall, that they're trying to find some loophole to be a recall. Is that even a remote possibility? Are we going to see him recalled as mayor?
You know, one place in which power is even less responsive to public pressure than Chicago is Springfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as he has the confidence of Michael Madigan, nothing's going to happen. And, you know, Michael Madigan is not kind of weighing his decisions based on, you know, who's marching down the street in Chicago, you know, or even polls. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's back scratching. It's that sort of thing.
And this article that we're talking about is in The New Yorker.
Yeah, NewYorker.com.
I'm curious, what's the perception of other big city mayors and other big cities about him right now? Are they looking at him going, boy, this guy's had a bad stretch of luck? Or are they just saying, could he screw up another thing? Is that even possible?
I think that, you know, if you're in elected office, it's a very funny job. If you like your job, right? Oh, my God, there's a friend of mine. If you like your job, and you're an elected official, it's kind of scary. You could lose your job in an election, and then suddenly you have to pack up your things and go.
Right.
They're very afraid of losing a job they like. So they look at someone like Rahm Emanuel, and they say, holy cow, I could be next.
Yeah.
So they tend to, you know, I think, I don't know who it was who said this. I think it was one of the Clinton guys. I think it might have been Carville. When your opponent is drowning, you hand him an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, our man is juggling anchors.
Yeah.
We should hook him up with the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow.
They're good jugglers.
I feel like we should give Charles, you have 20 seconds to say something. Go.
Okay, I just say that the city has given out $520 million, and it's my understanding that each time the city council and the mayor had a meeting to decide to give out money, so they didn't say what's going on for all those years that they're handing out all this money, $520 million.
This is settlements for all sorts of police stuff.
But it's on the city council.
Right. Right. This city has been cost a lot of money. There have been 400 police shootings that were investigated by IPRA, the independent, not really independent, police review board. And of those 400, do you know how many have been ruled unjustified?
Just one so far, right?
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Really?
So that costs the city a lot of money because IPRA can sign off on those things, but federal judges don't.
We're going through it right now with the Burge situation. Burge has cost the city an enormous amount of money.
If there wasn't a thin blue line of silence, we would be able to afford schools. You know, we would be able to, we would, our bond rating would not be junk.
It's awful.
Well,
Charles
thanks. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Rick, great meeting you. You did a very, very nice job on this article. Again, it's called
You're Spunky.
Sudden. You're very spunky. And just for the record, you said earlier, hey, I see a friend of mine. We all saw that friend. You're not just seeing things.
Janet Underhill.
We all saw Janet Underhill. The Sudden but Well-Deserved Fall of Rahm Emanuel. Read it at the NewYorker.com.
Although he's still standing today.
Yep. One more thing. I got an article coming out in Washington Monthly, Washington Spectator, about police stuff. And I'll get in touch with you guys.
Is that coming soon?
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Nice to meet you, Rick. Thanks so
Cheers.
Much. It's Rick Perlstein. Hold on. We've got more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.